Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? You are watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. I am one of your hosts today, Jimmy Wong.
I am your other host today, Josh Murphy, a.k.a. Murph.
Murph.
We haven't done that in a while.
It was DJ. DJ's the one that started that way back
really?
When.
Oh, really? That's funny. That's great.
That's why.
We are back at upgrading the precons from Baldur's Gate, Battle for Baldur's Gate, specifically the new Commander Legends set. And as always, the exercise is very simple. 10 cards in, 10 cards out, total budget of around $30, although some people have gotten a lot lower, and actually we're saving some on this one as well. So really exciting. This one is the Mind Flayers, the Dimir Horrors precon. I can't believe they named a deck this. I love it. The sense of humor is great. So we're going to get into it and upgrade this deck today. But before we do, it's time to talk about our sponsors. That's right, channelfireball.com/command. That's the number one place to go if you're a fan of the Command Zone and a fan of getting Magic cards. And trust me, I think all of us out here are fans of getting brand new Magic cards, whether it's sealed product at great prices or the single that you want, the specific foil, the specific edition. You're going to find it on the Channel Fireball Marketplace because you're also shopping from local game stores from around the country. So why don't you go on and go ahead, type that URL in, channelfireball.com/command, and when you get there, even if you forget to add command to the URL, you can add that code at checkout. Get the cards you need in great condition and in great time so that you can upgrade your precons or buy the precon for yourself to upgrade yourself. And when you get those cards, when you buy these precons, Murph, they don't come with sleeves.
No, they don't. So I should go
to
shop.ultrapro.com/command.
That's right. You can buy all sorts of different sleeves there, whether you're going for the art sleeves or the eclipse sleeves, or even inner sleeves if you want to double sleeve your deck. Ultra Pro has all of that product, as well as the playmats, deck boxes, basically anything you need to make your battlefield complete. And you're going to need to do that when you're playing with these decks, because no one wants to just bare bones shuffle a deck without any sleeves on it and damage those cards.
I do that sometimes, Jimmy.
Oh, gross. Well, don't be that person.
Don't be like me.
Yeah, well, you could, but then get the sleeves and feel how much better it is to shuffle with that nice shuffle feel. shop.ultrapro.com/command, or just shop from Ultra Pro from your local game store and support them that way. Last way to support the show is directly at patreon.com/command zone. We've upgraded our Patreon recently. I just played some games with some amazing patrons over Spell Table. Mm-hmm. That's open to certain tiers. Every single day, Josh and I are in our Discord, which is open to all tiers of the Patreon, answering questions and also engaging that community there. That's an amazing community of Magic players, super bright minds that will be there to help you with your questions, answer some rule questions, or even just sit there and discuss what you might do for the Mind Flayers deck. Make sure you go to patreon.com/command zone, and we also shout out one lucky patron every single month. So this episode is dedicated to Alex Shaw. Alex, you rock.
You rock, Alex.
Oh, also, I said every month. I meant every episode.
Every episode.
Yeah. Let's get right into it. The Mind Flayers Precon Budget Upgrade Guide. 10 cards in, 10 cards out. But first, let's talk about the commander on the deck as well as the secondary commander. So, Murph, read off Captain
Nagathrod. I'm going to go with Nagathrod. That sounds
Nagathrod.
About right.
Yeah.
It's a 3 blue-black legendary creature horror pirate. Horrors you control have menace. And whenever a horror you control deals combat damage to a player, that player mills that many cards.
Mm.
But the most important text. At the beginning of your end step, choose target artifact or creature card in an opponent's graveyard that was put there from their library this turn. Put that onto the battlefield under your control.
Okay, so you are cheating out something that got milled into an opponent's library, and it goes onto the battlefield under your control.
Yeah, you're not casting it, nothing. You're just like taking it from a graveyard, put it into play. You have it now.
Artifact or creature. So plenty of artifacts and magic, plenty of creatures and magic. You're not getting enchantments, you're not getting instants or sorceries, or planeswalkers, but it seems pretty good.
Yeah.
And of course, Nagathrod is also a horror pirate, so it has, and horrors have menace, which makes it easier to deal that combat damage, start milling stuff, and that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is notable that because Captain Nagathrod is a horror, it will affect their own stats. Like, it gives itself menace, and it gives itself the ability to mill things when it hits.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you're milling with the horrors or you're just milling in general, because it says a artifact or creature that was put there from their library this turn.
Yes.
So even if they entomb something before your end step, that also will count.
Yes.
Okay, so that is the main commander on the front. It's blue-black. However, with all of the precons, they also have a commander that is a commander that cares about choosing a background. And we'll go into super in-depth detail about the backgrounds and the commanders in another episode. But for the sake of this episode, it is a mono-blue commander that says choose a background. And of course, the background is going to be a black card so that you can still maintain that blue-black identity should you choose to put these two in front.
Yeah.
So we have Zelix Sanity Flayer, two in the blue for a 2/3 horror. Its first ability is called Hive Mind. Whenever a player mills one or more creature cards, you create a 1/1 black horror creature token.
Very cool.
And then you can pay one mana and tap Zelix to have target player mill three cards.
Okay.
Also pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And it also has choose a background on it.
Yep.
Obviously, so it goes with the background.
Yep. And the background is just like partner with or the Friends Forever mechanic. It only goes with commanders that say choose a background and the card needs to be a background.
Yep.
However, it can add another color to your commander's identity. So we have Haunted One, which is two in a black for a legendary enchantment background. It says commander creatures you own have, whenever this creature becomes tapped, it and other creatures you control that share a creature type with it each get +2/+0 and gain undying until end of turn. And undying is whenever a creature with undying dies, if it had no +1/+1 counters on it, return it to the battlefield under its owner's control with a +1/+1 counter on it. So this is nice. Obviously with Zelix, you're tapping Zelix to use the mill ability, and then when that happens, it and other creatures you control that share a creature type with it, horror, most likely, will get +2/+0 and gain undying. So if they die, they don't have a +1/+1 counter, they come back to the battlefield a little bit buffer and stronger than before.
Yeah, it's a lot of abilities by pairing those two things together, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So Zelix is, you know, a pretty decent mill engine. Not great, but milling someone, including yourself, by the way, for three cards.
Yep.
And Zelix also will trigger if you mill yourself and you get a creature into the graveyard.
Yeah, because it's whenever a player, not whenever an opponent.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool.
It's not an amazing payoff, but it does seem pretty good with Captain Nagathrod, obviously. Yeah,
definitely.
Okay, so let's talk about my favorite section of each of these episodes. It is the
stats.
This week on stats, we're looking at the ramp, card draw, single target removal, and wipes. And just like the other precons, the numbers are pretty well balanced. So we have 11 cards at ramp.
Yep.
That can ramp. And this is blue-black, by the way, so most likely they're in the artifact range. They're not your rampant growth.
Yeah, most of them are the artifacts.
You have 8 sources of card draw. Now, I will note that Captain Nagathrod's ability is kind of like card draw because you are caring about what enters your opponent's graveyards, and you can put that on the battlefield under your control.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not technically drawing cards, but it is giving you card advantage by giving you permanence. There are 11 sources of single target removal, which is pretty high, but also good.
They usually pack these precons pretty high with single target removal and then go a little bit low on the board wipes. They kind of encourage that interaction.
Yeah. So the board wipes in this one is 3 board wipes.
Yep.
And then, of course, there are cards that are tied to the theme of the deck itself. So, Murph, what do we have here?
Yeah, so everything on the horror theme, we have about 38 cards.
Wow, that's over a third of the deck.
Which is a lot.
Almost 40% of the deck right there.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Because the face commander says, hey, play horrors.
Yeah, they have menace. They're going to mill your opponents and you're going to get sweet cards as a result.
Plus, there hasn't really been like any deck or legendary creature that has specifically cared about horrors. I think there was one in Midnight Hunt, actually, that cared about horrors and nightmares.
Yep.
But there hasn't been like a pre-con commander, face commander, that has really enabled this strategy.
Yeah, so 38 horror creatures, or creatures that relate to the horror theme. 9 sources of mill, that includes Zelix. And then 13 cards that care about your graveyard or have recursion tied to them. So that makes a lot of sense as well. If you're milling yourself or others, you're going to want to be able to get those cards back from the graveyard. Pretty good stats overall. I think the ramp and card draw is right around the same amount. Maybe I'd want a little more card draw in there.
Yeah, I'd agree.
it's in blue and black, right? These cards, these colors are very good at drawing cards, notably. So let's talk about the deck value. So as always, we don't take account, we take the prices into account when we do the set review. Because obviously when the deck is previewed and spoiled, then the cards will all fluctuate in value. And we only care about the reprints because we know the prices of them. We don't actually know the prices of the new cards. So of the 70 cards in this deck, we added up the total reprint value and we got $106.35. Which is very good.
Yeah.
We've seen with all the precons so far that they've actually been very high on the reprint value. And the average precon reprint value going back 3 years is around $80. So this is above par. And again, we actually don't know what cards like Captain the Gathrod and Zelix and Haunted One are going to be worth when they come out. So this number could actually be much, much higher. But we're just talking about the reprints here.
Yeah, definitely. I think around the $100 range is what some of the more recent precons have been. It's been like 90 to 100, I think.
Yeah.
It's probably a little bit more accurate. Yeah. Some have gone above like the Lorehold deck from Strixhaven. Like, that was ridiculous. But there's also been a couple that have languished around the 85. So yeah. I think I'm pretty happy with the, like, 106.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Noble reprint. So these are all the cards that are worth more than $2. And this is great. There were seven cards that were $5 or more. Typically, the number is, like, two or three.
Yeah, usually there's only, like, there are only two or three. But this definitely has some spicy ones that I really like.
And then there are 16 cards that are $2 or more. So you can see where the reprint value is coming from. It's not sort of a bunch of cards that are worth just a little bit. There are a few very high up price cards, which is great.
Yeah. So let's talk about the seven cards that are $5 or more, because I think those are the more interesting ones.
Mm-hmm, certainly.
So we got Hunted Horror. It's black, only two mana for a creature horror. That's a 7/7. It's got trample.
Wow. What's the downside?
When it enters the battlefield, target opponent creates 2/3/3 green centaur creature tokens with protection from black.
Okay, so technically your commander gives this menace. However, those 3/3s have pro black. They could both easily sit there and block your horror. But this is commander. You don't need to be attacking that player necessarily. You could be going after someone else.
Exactly. And just give them to another opponent, an opponent that you're just generally friendly with, and you get a 2-mana 7/7 that can just start attacking.
Yeah, and maybe their centaurs with the pro black is actually really good against another player, and they care less so about you. They're just happy to have the bodies. So you can always play the hunted cards. I love seeing them in decks. You can definitely add a little political spin to them as well.
Yeah. Also importantly, I don't believe the 3/3 green centaur creature tokens with pro black have ever been printed before.
Really?
Yes. Because I remember running Hunted Horror in a deck and I was looking for those tokens and online said, well, they just don't exist. And
well, so, they might exist in this precon.
Pretty sure they do.
Yeah, that, I mean, maybe they always come with the tokens and stuff. So we may actually see the first time they ever get printed, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but that one was from original Ravnica. So it's been creeping up in price. It's not the most powerful card in the world, but it's really good to have something like that see a reprint.
It was sitting at $12.
Yeah.
Again, black for a 7/7 trample that synergizes really well with the commander. It might be one of the better cards in the deck.
Definitely.
All right, next up, we got Lightning Greaves. This is just a classic 2-mana artifact equipment. An equipped creature gets haste and shroud. And very specifically, equip costs 0.
Yes.
So this is always going to be a powerful spell in Magic. The 2-mana realm is sort of like the lowest, I think, that we're really going to see the power level go. We're not going to see too many 1-mana, 0-mana cards in Commander. Hopefully, no more Jeweled though, this is.
You say that, Jimmy.
I say that now. Yeah, someone will clip this a year from now and go like, haha, look at what you said.
Joke's on you.
But Lightning Greaves is, again, just a classic card. This was at $7.30.
Yeah.
It just shows how good this card is.
Lightning Greaves is legit just one of the best cards in Commander. And it's one of those cards, just like Solar Ring, where if it isn't printed into the ground, then it'll just start creeping up. Yep. And there have been a couple precons where it's been missing. And so that's probably why it's been going up in value a little bit.
Yep. And again, equip costs 0. So good. You can switch it around on your creatures as well when you're done for no mana at all.
So good. Next up, we got Herald's Horn, which is 3 generic mana for an artifact. When it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Creature spells you cast of the chosen type cost 1 less to cast. At the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top card of your library. If it's a creature card of the chosen type, you may reveal it and put it into your hand.
All right, so this can just draw you a bunch of cards. It's kind of like a mana rock, but it's going to do a mana reduction on all of your horrors, most likely.
Yes.
This is just another very, now that tribes and we have more and more tribal support, this card is just always going to be very good. This was at $7.25.
Yeah, that's one that was printed in the C17 decks, I believe, for the first time.
Yeah,
and then it just
Ur Dragon decks, right?
It gets like pretty sparse reprintings, and so it's always hanging around that $5 to $10 range. I think it like went above that for a little bit.
For a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm glad to see them recognize that this card needs some reprint, start putting it in some decks.
Yep, and of course, all the tribal decks are very good with it.
Yes.
Next up is a card that we all love here at the office. It's Leyline of Anticipation.
Not as good as Vedalken Orrery, Jimmy. You can't put it in every deck.
Yeah, you can't put it in every deck.
No, wait, it's strictly better because...
Yeah, if it's in your opening hand, you may begin the game with it on the battlefield, and it says, 2 blue-blue, you may cast spells as though they had flash. So it's the Vedalken Orrery text. This is just a great card because you, in the off chance you do have in your opening hand, you start off at a massive advantage. And, you know, that was at $6.
Yeah. Also great to see a reprint. Although I wish they would do Vedalken Orrery one of these days.
One of these days. Maybe, yeah, maybe they saw us loving it so much and they're like, you know what? Let's not give it to them.
Never again.
Yeah. I love this next card too.
Oh, yeah. It's a Curtain's Call. So it's 5 and a black for an instant. Little steep, but it has Undaunted. So it costs 1 less to cast for each opponent. Destroy 2 target creatures.
Yep.
So if you have 3 opponents, like a normal commander game, then this is reduced by 3. So it only costs a total of 3 mana. And 3 mana instant speed, destroy 2 target creatures is very, very good rate.
Yeah, that's very, very powerful. 2 and a black for an instant speed, destroying 2 target creatures. And even if you have 2 opponents left, that's 3 and a black, destroy 2 target creatures. Still pretty good. So this card was sitting around $6 as well. It's going to just be one of those, I think, evergreen, very good in commander cards. And look, maybe if someday people start playing with 5 people in our play group, it's going to cost 1 of the black.
Yes, it's great if you play with more than 4 people in a play group, but if you only have like 3 or something,
it's still good.
It's still good.
Very good, yeah. This next one is one of the most powerful creatures printed recently, I think. It's Hullbreaker Horror. 5 blue-blue for a 7/8 Kraken Horror. It has flash, and the spell can't be countered. And it says, whenever you cast a spell, choose up to 1 of these next 2 abilities. The first is return target spell you don't control to its owner's hand. Wow. So it's kind of like unsubstantiate.
Yeah.
Or return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. So it's like a Cyclonic Rift or just a bounce spell.
Yeah. This card is insanely powerful. You see it all over Commander. You see it in CDH. Even so, like, this card is just completely nuts. If somebody is able to resolve this and protect it, you don't even have to try hard to protect it because it protects itself.
Can't be countered.
You can play a spell and return a spell to its owner's hand. So if somebody goes to try to remove it, you can just be like, I'll play Opt.
Yeah.
Or something
and
like that.
Back,
and
yeah.
Bounce that spell back. They do have the choice to play it again, but... Man, it's just so brutal to try to get rid of.
Yeah, and it's also a horror, so it synergizes really well with the deck. You can play a spell, bounce a blocker, your horrors have menace, you're definitely getting through with some damage thanks to the Hullbreaker Horror. And that was a $5 card, too.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, probably going to keep going up, too. Because it's a really good one.
It's a really good one. And I mean, this is the perfect place to reprint it. I don't know if they'll find perfect places in the future, but it's a very powerful spell. And it has flash on top of everything else.
So good.
So good.
Next up, we got Black Markets. 3 black-black for an enchantment. Whenever a creature dies, put a charge counter on Black Markets. At the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, add a black for each charge counter on Black Market.
Okay.
This is an oldie but a goodie.
Oldie but a goodie. They've reprinted this a couple times in commander sets, but this just can add an absurd amount of black mana to your mana pool. Because whenever a creature dies, you get a charge counter. Maybe this has 3 charge counters, and all of a sudden you're getting 3 extra black mana every pre-combat main phase. That number is only going to go up. I sometimes see people just never remove this card too.
Yeah, what's the most amount of mana you've ever gotten with the Black Market?
13 to 15, I think, was when it was not. It was like post board wipe, post a couple of combats.
Best I've done was a 30.
A 30? 30
Black Market.
Wow.
Would you believe I won that game?
Yeah, no kidding. You could just resolve Torment of Hailfire at that point and just instantly win.
Yeah,
right?
You can play whatever and just instantly win. Like Black Markets, it's a little slow.
Yeah, 5 mana is a lot, right? Yeah, and you're in blue-black, you don't have an amazing ramp as well, so you may find that you play this sometimes on a board that does nothing. But other times, if you're just in a game that gets board wiped a couple of times, and even if your creatures aren't dying, other people are just swinging at each other, they're goaded or whatever.
Because whenever a creature dies, not just yours.
Yeah, and it also doesn't care if it's token or non-token, so there are ways that this card just gets out of control really quickly.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Black's version of Carpet of Flowers a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely not as good, but...
No, definitely not as good.
Still pretty fun.
Yeah. All right, next up are cards under $5 but above $2, and a lot of these are still pretty valuable. So we got Mind Crank. So this is an artifact. Whenever an opponent loses life, that player mills that many cards. Obviously, you can tell why it's good here. Not only are you milling them when you attack them with your Menace Horrors, but now the combat damage that gets done, they mill that many more cards.
Yes, definitely.
So you're probably going to find a creature or an artifact to place on your battlefield with Nagathod.
And this was an uncommon, and it was a little less than $4. I'm glad... Because no uncommon should really realistically be over a couple bucks, honestly.
Tell that to Lightning Greaves. and then next up, we have Spellskite. This is check it out. It's a horror. It's a 0/4 though.
It is a horror.
So it's not going to really do any damage, but it does have a really important ability. We can pay a Phyrexian mana or a blue mana to change the target of a target spell or ability to spellskite. So it can basically suck up a removal spell or a bounce spell or whatever it is and have it target itself. Yep. And you can do it with no mana open because you can pay 2 life for it.
Yep. It does have 0 power, but that's fine. Like, your deck is already synergizing with horrors anyway, so yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Next up is Tainted Isle. It's a land. You can tap for a colorless, or you can tap it for a blue or a black, but you can only activate that ability if you control a swamp.
Yep, these lands are really good in 2-color decks.
Yes, very good.
Very, very good, yeah. So this was at, like, $3.50, so it's good to see this back.
Yep.
Next up is Nemesis of Reason.
Oh, I love this card.
3 blue and a black for a 3/7 horror Leviathan. Whenever it attacks, defending player mills 10 cards. Wow. So that's powerful, right? That instantly gets the mill in. 10 cards off the opponent's library. If you don't find an artifact or a creature to put in the battlefield with your commander, then you got very unlucky, I think.
Yeah, I see this one in the Phoenix lists a lot because it has high toughness.
Yeah.
So it'll usually get through, or even if it doesn't get through, it won't die in combat because it only cares about the attack trigger. So even so, it's just milling a lot.
Even if you attack and they manage to group block it and kill it, you're fine with that because you still milled them 10 cards and you're probably going to get something even better off their library.
Yeah, it's a horror, cares about milling. Great fit for this deck.
Great fit for the deck.
Next up is Memory Plunder, which is hybrid blue black, hybrid blue black, hybrid blue black, hybrid blue black.
All right, so what are all the ways you can pay for this, Murph? Go. I'm not going to say it, but you can pay any combination of blue and black as long as it adds up to 4 total mana to cast this instant.
That's correct. It's an instant. You can cast target instant or sorcery card from an opponent's graveyard without paying its mana cost.
Yeah, so this is really good. This is a great way for blue and black to get access to spells they normally don't get to cast.
Yeah.
You could cast a Rampant Growth off of this if you really wanted to.
Yeah, usually this isn't the worst, even if you're not milling, but especially in a mill deck, and you're probably picking out the creatures and artifacts already with the commander, and you're leaving the cool instants and sorceries still in there, so Memory Plunder can just pluck out the best of those and get it for free.
Imagine if you mill a, extra turn spell, or an Expropriate, or any of those massive spells, now you're going to get it at instant speed as well, so that's really powerful. Really like this card, and it synergizes as well. Next up is another land, River of Tears. It's a land that says tap, add blue. If you play the land this turn, add black instead. So this is a little weird of a land because you don't get to always choose to add black, but when you play another land, then you can add black instead of blue. But it's still a dual land, and it's a card that works well again in these types of decks that's 2 colors.
Yep. Untapped can produce blue or black, usually pretty good, you want.
Typically blue, but if you're dropping lands, then you can do black as well. And by the time that you get 3 or 4 or 5 lands out, this won't matter anymore. It's just a blue land.
Yeah. So that one's a couple bucks. Next up is Chasm Skulker. It's 2 and a blue for a Squid Horror. Whenever you draw a card, put a 1/1 counter on it. It starts out as a 1/1. And when it dies, create X-1/1 blue squid creature tokens with Island Walk, where X is the number of +1/+1 counters on Chasm Skulker.
Very cool. So even if it dies, you're making a bunch of little 1/1 squiddies, and they'll probably be able to swing in and attack someone and kill them.
Yeah,
hopefully.
It's a lot of fun. It does have to die. A little bit of a downside, but it's just a fun card. It's a really cool card.
Yeah, it's a horror as well.
Yeah, definitely.
However, the squids you make are not horrors.
Correct.
So, just so you know.
But that's okay. They have Island Walk. They can usually get through a lot of stuff.
This is one of the best cards in my chaser, by the way.
Chasm Skulker?
Yeah, because you can sack it when it has a +1/+1 counter on it and it comes back.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can make more squids and you just keep making them.
Just keep looping. Just keep looping.
Looping and looping. All right. Thought Vessel is the next card up. 2 mana. Artifact. You have no maximum hand size. Add a colorless mana.
Yep. It's a mana rock. It's a good mana rock.
Yep.
That's about all there's to say.
We've seen actually that Reliquary Tower has been climbing up in price as well because of the static ability. You have no maximum hand size.
Yeah.
So Thought Vessel is a great card for that. Not to mention, we've also created an incredible animation for it for game nights.
Love it.
All right. The last card on the more than $2 that we're going to talk about today is just a regular card draw spell.
Yep. It's a Pull from Tomorrow, X blue blue for an instant. Draw X cards, then discard a card. This is one of my favorites, X draw spells.
Yeah.
Because it's instant speed. It's only blue blue. It doesn't have that additional 3 mana.
Yeah.
And usually of all the cards that you draw, there's one or a couple that you don't care about.
Or want to be in the graveyard.
Or want to be in the graveyard.
Yeah.
Also, that's definitely the case.
Yeah, because maybe you're pulling a creature that you want to reanimate later, or an instant or sorcery you want to buy back somehow. So there's lots of, almost always in blue black, especially graveyard decks, you're happy to discard the card. In fact, that's an upside, not a downside.
It's got a lot of utility.
Okay, so those are the reprints. We've talked about the stats. We've talked about the commanders. Murph, when you looked at this deck, which card did you think would be the lead singer? Who should be the correct commander to run
Honestly, if you decide to run the backgrounds, the monocolor background commander, that's not an awful decision.
Zalix and Haunted One,
yes.
Yeah, Haunted One is really good in a tribal deck because it cares about all the horrors you're putting out.
Yeah, and like it's pretty good, and they have a decent amount of synergy with the rest of the deck, again, because it makes horrors,
yeah,
cares about milling. But I think we still want Captain Nagathrod as the lead commander.
I believe so.
My biggest issue with these two monocolor background Haunted One and Zelix is that they're both 3 mana, which is just so clunky when you're trying to play, because one's at 3 mana, one's at 3 mana. Which one do you play on turn 3?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you're on turn 4. Now you play a 3-drop, and you just feel like you're missing out on value.
Yeah, I have a mana left over. What do I do with it? Maybe that's the turn you play a Thought Vessel and use that mana to tap for the other 3-drop. But yeah, it is a little clunky. And yeah, notably, with the backgrounds, they don't just get to sit in your command zone and do their ability. You have to play them.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I agree there. And I think you're just happy to draw Haunted One with Nagathrod out or Zelix.
Yeah, honestly, you're happy to draw either of them with Nagathrod outs.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Okay, let's talk about the best cards in the deck. There are two of them here. One of them is a brand new one, and one of them is a classic. The first up is
A classic,
yeah. It's Consuming Aberration. 3BB for a star horror. Its power and toughness are equal to the number of cards in your opponent's graveyard.
All your opponents.
Yeah, so all together. This can sometimes just be like a 50-50. and whenever you cast a spell, each opponent reveals cards from the top of their library until they reveal a land card, then puts those cards into their graveyard. So if you have Consuming Aberration out, you can just literally cast Captain Nagathrod, and then that's going to mill every single opponent, and then the second ability, or the third ability on Captain Nagathrod will trigger, and you can get something back from that.
Yeah, exactly. Consuming Aberration is one of those cards that, in the right deck, it just snowballs so quickly,
mm-hmm,
because like it's really, really big, usually when it starts out. Like even if you've just been playing the game without doing any milling, by the time you get it out, there'll be, maybe it's a 6-6, something like that.
Yeah, but then you cast one spell, and blam, it's a 12-12.
Exactly.
Cast one spell, another spell, it's a 25-25.
Yeah, and so Consuming Aberration works very, very well, because if it has a clear path, then not only are you doing a ton of damage to somebody, but you might be able to get 25 cards milled or something like that.
And it's a huge creature.
Yeah.
And it has Menace, by the way.
Yeah, make it even bigger, and then you can cast something, because why not with Captain Nagathrod?
Yeah, and then if you swing and hit someone with a 40-40, they mill 40 cards, you're definitely going to get a very cool hit from
no,
there.
No, if you hit them with a 40-40, they die, Jimmy.
Oh, that's a good point.
At that point, we're not worried about getting extra value. We're just killing people.
Yeah.
Consuming Aberration.
Yeah, okay, fine.
A little bit of evasion on Consuming Aberration can just start one-shotting people. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah. All right, the next best card in the deck is a brand new one. I'm excited about this. What is it?
Yeah. So this one is Grell Philosopher. It's a 2BB creature human wizard.
Horror wizard, excuse me. It does not look human.
It does not look like a human.
It is not very humanoid.
Whenever Grell Philosopher enters the battlefield and at the beginning of your upkeep, each horror you control has all activated abilities of target artifact and opponent controls until end of turn. You may spend blue mana as though it were mana of any color to activate these abilities.
Oh, interesting.
So,
what do you see happening here?
Basically, if your entire commander table does not have a mana rock on the table, something has gone horribly wrong. So base level, all of your horrors in the deck will be able to tap for mana.
Yeah, if someone has a Soul Ring out, congratulations. Not just that they gain all active abilities, so if they have a Staff of Domination,
yes,
then all of your horrors gain the Staff of Domination text. But I think you're going to target like an Arcane Signet or a,
yeah,
you know.
I think the floor for this card is you hit an Arcane Signet. Even better, you get like a Soul Ring or something like that.
Yeah.
Even better than that, you get, again, something like a Staff of Domination, whereas a ton of options, tons of activated abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, even when that type of thing happens, you might still want to target Soul Ring because it gives it to all of your horrors.
Yeah, the kind of nice thing too is that this doesn't just happen once. It's once on ETB. So let's say you only have the Grell Philosopher out. Nah, it's a little bummer. But on the upkeep, it also does it again and again and again and again. So you may be able to grow your board and then give all of those creatures on your board a very good ability and do it every single upkeep as long as the Grell Philosopher sticks around.
Yeah, I mean, if you read Grell Philosopher as during your turn, all of your horrors become Soul Rings, like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's very, very good. And even at its very worst, you know, what, they're like Mind Stones. Great, now your horrors can draw you a card.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, there's always going to be some upside here. And like you said, what if someone has Mana Vault and they can't untap it? Or Grim Monolith too, right?
Yeah.
So you can really, even Mana Crypt.
Yeah, you can have Mana Crypts, Mana Vaults, all that stuff. You can tap them for mana, but then they no longer have those...
downsides.
Yeah, they no longer have those downsides. I was going to say that's... the thing goes away, but they don't even get the downside of those. They don't get the doesn't untap. They only get the activated abilities.
Yeah, yeah. So it goes to end of turn, they lose the thing that says this stays tapped or whatever, and then goes to your untap upkeep. They untap, and then they can choose something else again. You don't even get like the damage dealt from like Mana Crypt and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, because its beginning of upkeep has already happened by the time this trigger has resolved.
Yeah, very cool. All right, so we've now covered the commander, the stats, the reprint value. Coming up next is the most exciting part of the episode for a lot of you. It's what cards we're taking out and what cards we're putting into this deck to make it super tuned up on a budget and to be able to compete with some better decks around the table. But before we do that, let's hear a message from our mid-roll sponsors.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
All right, everyone, we are back talking about the Mind Flayers deck. 10 cards to take out, 10 cards to put in with a budget of around $30. So before we get into those cards, Murph, your evaluation of the deck right out of the box, what did you think? What was your goal in making these adds and cuts? And what did you think, sort of like, what were you prioritizing?
Yeah, so the deck isn't too bad out of the box, I think. It has a lot of the right numbers, the 11 ramp, 11 sealed target removals, all totally fine. The card draw is a little bit low, so I thought, well, we might want to increase that just a little bit, maybe with like one or two other pieces. But the thing that surprised me the most is how heavily this deck leaned into the horror synergies.
Okay, yeah, there's, like we wrote, there are 38 horror cards or horror synergies. That's a huge number of the deck.
Whereas there's only about 9 cards that care about milling, and I feel like for this deck to function to its most optimal, especially with Nagathrod as the commander, you do want to have a little bit more mill in there.
Yeah.
Because with the horrors, it's great because you can mill things with it, but you have to do a lot of setup in order to get that mill
going. Yeah, you
actually
have to do combat damage with the commander out.
You got to play a horror, you have to wait a turn, and then you have to get combat damage through, which the commander does help with, gives menace, but if your horror is like a 3-3, that's not the most helpful thing in the world.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of bigger things out there in commander.
And the last thing you want to do is the person goes, okay, sure, yeah, hit me with your 2-2, and they mill two cards, and it's a land and an instant.
Yeah, so I think if you really want to be getting like all those end step triggers with Nagathrod, you really, really want to be able to have those mill cards so that you can play Captain Nagathrod, play a mill card, and then you're off to the races.
Yeah, and there are 187 cards that can be horrors in Magic, or are horrors, not counting changelings.
Yeah.
And so you ask the question, should you build this in a straight horror tribal? But it looks like there's enough cards already.
Yeah, there's definitely enough cards in there already, and most of the good ones are already in this deck. Mm-hmm. Like, I was looking through every single one of the ones on Scryfall, thinking, okay, would any of these horrors actually add to this deck? Would they help it? And honestly, I could not find any.
Wow. Okay, so they did a good job selecting the best horrors for the deck.
I think so.
And so let's go into the exercise then of what you decided to do. So this first category is pretty obvious. You were looking to add some better mill.
Yeah. So I think the mill that we're looking for is we're looking for a mill that is cheap, Low mana cost, and it wants to mill multiple opponents all at once.
We don't
want targeted mill. It's not the end of the world if it's targeted mill, but I think trying to affect everybody at once just gives you so many more options for Nagathrod's ability.
That's probably what you want to up your chance of hitting an artifact creature at the most.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so we got stuff like Maddening Cacophony. It's from Zendikar Rising. It's one and blue sorcery. Each opponent mills 8 cards, but it also has kicker for 3 and a blue. And if the spell is kicked, instead each opponent mills half their library, rounded up.
Yeah, so you're probably going to get the best cards out of most people's libraries if you do that. So that's going to be a 6 mana spell. But even 1 and a blue, each opponent milling 8 cards, that's 24 cards around the table milling.
Typically. Yeah, 24 cards. You're almost certainly going to hit a creature that's pretty good.
Yeah.
From all that. Again, it entirely depends on the meta
and
what's going on.
But here's the thing. You also don't want to just count on just one thing to mill. You want to have more consistent sources of mill too, right?
Yeah. So we got things like Ruin Crab, which is just a blue for a crab. It's a creature. It's a 0/3, but it's got landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent mills 3 cards.
Wow, 3 cards. So one land, 3 cards. A fetch land equals 6 cards per opponent. So this is getting close to the power of Maddening Cacophony, but you get to do this over and over again every single turn.
Every single turn. So you can play it out early, start getting some stuff into the graveyard already, but then even so, you're probably still going to be playing lands later on in the game, so it just keeps that value engine going.
Yep. I like this next one quite a bit. Altar of the Brood, 1 mana for an artifact. Whenever another permanent enters the battlefield under your control, including lands, each opponent puts the top card of their library into their graveyard. So this with Ruin Crab, each land mills every player 4 cards.
Yeah. This was one of the slightly more expensive adds. This one's hovering around like $5, something like that. But I thought that it was pretty warranted because, again, it's only 1 mana to play.
Yeah.
And you are going to be playing permanents on your turn. Like, that's just a fact. You're going to be playing horrors. You're going to be playing lands.
Yeah.
Any other creatures that the deck might have. So, honestly, Altar of the Brood just seems like a pretty good include for, again, being able to get that Captain Nagathrod trigger.
Yeah, it's going to just do a lot of work for you over the long game.
Yeah. Also, like, by stacking all of these mill cards in the deck, it also suddenly becomes a lot more likely that you might be able to win through mill. That's no longer out of the question.
Yeah, especially with Maddening Cacophony, you're at that point now where it's like, okay, I can really reduce some deck sizes here.
Yeah, because I don't think with 9 mill cards that's even close to enough for what you need maybe make that a win con.
Yeah.
Again, it's not necessarily our primary strategy, our main strategy, but it is something that the deck can definitely do.
Yep.
Got some more mill cards. Court of Cunning, 1 blue for an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, you become the monarch.
Okay.
Monarch, always a fun mechanic. And at the beginning of your upkeep, any number of target players each mill 2 cards. That's okay. But if you're the monarch, each of those players mills 10 cards instead.
Okay.
That's suddenly a lot more attractive.
Yeah, very much so. And actually, I like reading the court cards as 1 blue in this case. 1 blue. At the end of your turn, draw a card, discard a card, and then there's added abilities on to the other part of it. Because you're still going to get 2 cards if you're not the monarch, if it's someone gets taken from you. But that's a good thing. It means people had to swing at you, which means they're open for you to swing at them with menace.
Exactly. Because what you want is you want attacking to happen, because the more attacking that happens, the more likely it is that you'll be able to get through with your horrors.
Yeah.
And if you do get through with your horrors, especially on the person that is the monarch, well then, guess what?
You got to draw another card at the end of your turn, and you're milling them
for 10 cards, which is huge.
Yeah.
Milling each player for 10 every turn. Like, if you can keep that up, you're golden. You're in business. And it's only 3 mana, so it's not that big of an investment.
Yep. Next up, we have Imperious Mindbreaker, another mill card. 1 blue for a human wizard, 1/4 with Soulbound. So you can pair this with another unpaired creature when it enters the battlefield, and as long as they're both there, they remain paired. So as long as Imperious Mindbreaker is paired with another creature, each of those creatures have, whenever this creature attacks, each opponent mills cards equal to its toughness.
Yeah, so the toughness is the key part here. It worked very, very well with Captain Nagathrod because Nagathrod has a toughness of 6.
3/6, and this is a 1/4. So you play this, you pair it with Nagathrod, and now you're milling people for 10 when they both attack?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's...
And it's each opponent, by the way.
It is each opponent. Yeah. Again, we're trying to get that each opponent thing going so that we can mill the maximum amount of things.
Yep.
And if you stack a couple of these effects of milling 10 cards every single turn, that adds up very, very quickly. It does not take much more than that for opponents to like completely mill out.
And hey, you might just pull out the cards as well from, don't forget, you're getting artifacts and creatures, you're getting ramp, or you're getting really big scary threats that are going to stop them from trying to kill you.
Exactly. Next up, we have a card that's also doubles as it's part of the mill plan, but also card draw, because this deck could use another piece or two of card draw.
Court of Cunning, by the way, also card draw because of Monarch, I would
say. True. This one is Drown in Dreams. It's X, 2 and a blue from Midnight Hunt. commander, mm-hmm. I believe. It's an instant. Choose one. If you control your commander, you can choose both. Target player draws X cards, and target player mills twice X cards.
Mm.
So this is basically just Stroke of Genius, which is already a very good, very playable card.
With the added bonus that if your commander's out,
then you get to mill twice X cards.
Yeah.
Which X is going to be like probably four, maybe five or something like that. So then that's draw four or five cards and have somebody mill 10.
Yeah, and this honestly isn't the worst if you have to cast it during your turn at sorcery speed.
Yes.
When your commander's out, because you're still drawing the cards and you're going to mill an opponent as well, and maybe you're going to hit something really cool off.
Yeah, it's really flexible. There's really no bad time to play it.
Yeah.
If you need to refill your hand and you don't have your commander out, totally fine. Go ahead and do it. Fire it off. Stroke of Genius is a great card that is totally playable.
Yeah.
So I really like that as an include.
Very nice. Next up, we have some cards that add evasion. I really like this first one from the original Dungeons & Dragons set. This is Krydal of Baldur's Gate.
Hey. Yep.
Of Baldur's Gate.
Did it for only the flavor and the flavor only.
Yeah. No, but the card's actually really good. It's blue-black for a 1-3. When it deals combat damage to a player, that player loses one life and mills a card, and then you gain one life and scry one.
Yep.
And whenever you attack, you may pay two. If you do, target creature can't be blocked this turn.
Yeah. So my guess with this deck is, at least from my experience with it, is that you're not usually attacking with a ton of horrors.
Yeah.
You're usually only attacking with like a couple because you want to keep something back for defense. You can't always go balls to the walls with everything.
Yeah.
So with this card, you can almost certainly get at least one thing through. You can get that combat damage on one thing through.
Yeah, and Krydal lands early, and if it's just Krydal out there attacking, you can also, I mean, you may be able to play Krydal on turn two and hit someone without having to pay for the extra cost. And exactly. Then they mill a card, lose a life, and you gain a life and scry one. So there's just a lot of value tacked on there.
Yeah, it's only a 2-mana investment to actually play the card. It already starts you on the mill plan, gets you some extra life.
Yeah, Krydal acts more of like an enchantment than anything else.
But yeah.
It can also be a creature that attacks, which is great.
Yeah, honestly. And then the next up is a favorite of mine. Also
yeah, I was going to say, this is definitely a Murph special.
Also from the last Dungeons & Dragons set, Winged Boots, one and a blue, artifact equipment, equipped creature has flying and ward four, equip for one.
Wow, okay. So only one equip cost. It reminds me of Swiftfoot Boots a little bit. Ward four isn't hexproof, but someone needing to pay four extra mana to target your creature, it's not going to happen very often.
Yeah, so again, this is really helpful because it does two things for you. It protects your commander,
yep.
But it also can move around very, very quickly, very, very easily in order to get the damage through on one of your horrors.
Yeah.
And the flying I really like because you don't need like hard unblockable always for every single thing because the commander gives menace. So yeah. Even if somebody has
flying
like
flying menace creature is yeah. Almost unblockable.
So hard
magic.
To block.
Yeah.
So I really like Winged Boots in this slot.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And the last category we have here for cards to add are Graveyard Shenanigans. The first one is a classic. It's Animate Dead. A lot of text on this, but basically...
Would you like to read the card, Jimmy?
No, I don't actually want to read the card. You're basically enchanting a creature card in the graveyard. It comes out and gets -1/-0. But you can choose any creature from any graveyard, notably. And it's really cheap to do so. One in the black is a very cost-effective spell.
Yeah. Specifically, Animate Dead, I think, is a really good include because, again, you're milling your opponents and you want all your reanimation, if possible, to be able to pull stuff from your graveyard
yeah.
And also their graveyard.
Well, here's the thing, too, is that you may not even have your commander out, and you may just be incidentally milling people. And at that point, Animate Dead gets really good because you're not always going to get your commander's triggered ability to
yes.
Get the cards out. You may just want to pull something out of someone's graveyard without needing to worry about, oh, I need to swing and do all X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, Animate Dead, just a naturally good card. Most black decks run it, and I think it especially shines in a deck like this.
Yeah, and this next one we talk about all the time, but
yep.
Especially in this deck, maybe a win con.
Yep, Sir Conrad the Grim, three black. Black, a legendary creature, human knights, whenever another creature dies or a creature card is put into a graveyard from anywhere other than the battlefield, or a creature card leaves your graveyard, Sir Conrad the Grim deals one damage to each opponent.
And then one in the black, each player mills a card.
Yes.
So at worst case, you can just activate this a bunch of times when your commander's out and hopefully you hit something.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, you're playing Madden Cacophony and dealing so much damage to people.
Yes.
You're doing a bunch of different cards that mill people and then blammo. Your Rune Crab all of a sudden becomes a win condition with Sir Conrad out.
Yeah, Sir Conrad is just so, so good. It goes in a lot of black decks. But you're just going to be having a lot of creatures get milled. You'll have creatures die because it has a decent bit of removal in this deck. Mm-hmm. You'll get that a lot. It does have the or a creature card leaves your graveyard, so it doesn't care about creature cards leaving other
their
players' graveyards.
Right. Oh, yeah, so when you pull them out with your commander.
Which would be
matter.
Very cool, but honestly, Sir Conrad already does so much as yeah. Is. It's not the end of the
yeah,
world.
You need another that, ability added
yep,
on.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I really like that. So that's 10 cards, and you actually didn't just get below $30. You got at $20, which
yeah.
Is great.
Yeah, I looked up all these, rounded to the nearest 10 cents, and it ended up being exactly $20. So how about that?
How about that? Which means you could spend the extra $10 maybe on a couple of these honorable mentions.
I mean, honorable mentions are a little bit pricier, but I had to just mention them because they're very, very cool.
Yeah, the first one is pretty obvious. It's Bruvik, the Grandiloquent. This is 2 in a blue for a 1/4 from Jumpstart. It's basically the mill commander. It's if an opponent would mill one or more cards, they mill twice that many cards instead. So it just doubles up every single mill that you have.
Yeah, if your commander cares about milling, we're putting mill cards in the deck. It's just very, very good. You can double up on all that. So now, instead of milling 8 cards, you're milling 16 cards for everybody.
Yep.
Gets out of hand so, so quick.
Yep, yep. And I like this next one a lot, too. Maybe you could just find the spot for this if you like it.
Yeah, Cover of Darkness, 1 in a black for an enchantment. When it comes into play, choose a creature type. Creatures of the chosen type have fear.
Yep, they can't be blocked except by artifact creatures and or black creatures. So good chance all of your horrors now are just straight unblockable to at least part of the table.
And it's only 2 mana to basically give your entire board unblockable. Like, it's a very, very good rate. Unfortunately, both of these are around like the $20-$25 range.
Oof, rough.
So they're a little bit pricey, but they are really good things to consider if you're going a little bit above that $30 range. And hey, we already saved you $10, so maybe you can take those $10, put them towards some of these.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Boingo.
Okay, so those are 10 cards to take to put in, a couple of honorable mentions. Now let's talk about the cards that you wanted to take out. This is typically the hardest part of the exercise, but I love to always hear the reasoning and why you decided to take some of these cards out.
Honestly, this was probably the easiest part for me.
Really? Oh, yes. Perfect. Love that.
Because there's only 187 horrors in all of Magic in these colors. And turns out not all of them are winners. So in order to get to the 38 mass of things that care about horrors, there have to be some not so good, not so synergistic horrors that are in there.
Right. Okay, so let's kick things off then. We got Dross Harvester. It's 1 black for a 4/4 protection from white. At the end of your turn, you lose 4 life. Whenever creature is put into a graveyard from play, you gain 2 life. From play, not even from the deck.
Yeah, so it doesn't synergize super great with your commander. It just cares about things that are dying, which honestly the deck doesn't really care about like at all.
Yeah, it's 3 mana for a 4/4, which seems nice, but like you said, this doesn't actually do much for you.
Yeah, maybe you'll just get some incidental life gain as the game goes around, but you're also losing 4 life at the end of your turn. So even if it was just a 3 mana 4/4 with like no other downside or anything like that, it's probably still a cut. It's just not great. It's not great.
Yeah. Next up is Plague Spitter. This art is pretty hilarious. 2 in the black for a 2/2. At the beginning of your upkeep, it deals 1 damage to each creature and each player. That's not great. That absolutely does not synergize with Velix, by the way, because it just kills the 1/1s that he makes.
Yep.
When Plague Spitter is put into a graveyard from play, it deals 1 damage to each creature and each player. So yeah, this is just, it just says horror on it, which seems like why it was added to the deck.
It's horrorable.
It's horrorable. It does sound very horrible.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't synergize with your deck. It isn't doing what you're wanting to do. And a 2/2 with Menace because your commander also doesn't seem very incredible. So yeah.
It's 3 mana, not amazing. Next up is Night Howler. It's 1 black enchantment creature horror. Bestow 2 black, so you can put it onto something as an enchantment. Night Howler and enchanted creature each get +X/+X, where X is the number of creature cards in all graveyards. It's not the worst.
It's not the worst, but it could also be nothing in the beginning of the game. And it is cool that when the enchanted creature dies, it falls off and stays around.
Yes.
But I can see why you cut it.
Yeah. Night Howler, just not the strongest. And again, you want to be pulling creature cards out of people's graveyards. And by doing that, it's a little bit of anti-synergy. Yes, you are milling those creature cards, but you're also pulling stuff out and ending up making a Night Howler smaller in the process.
Too much math. My brain hurts.
Yeah, too much math. Well, let's go with that.
All right, next up is Psychosis Crawler. 5 mana for a star. Power and toughness are equal to the number of cards in your hand. I'm not liking it already. And then whenever you draw a card, each opponent loses 1 life. This is not the deck that this should be in.
No, absolutely.
This just happens to be a horror. So yeah, not great synergy.
It belongs in like Wheels decks, stuff like that.
Yeah.
They just put it in because it was a horror, and it's a somewhat playable horror.
Yeah.
And that's what we're cutting. We're cutting the somewhat playable to bad horrors.
All right, here's a new card, though, here, which seems pretty powerful. I'm interested to see why you thought this could use the cut.
Okay, so this one is Brainstealer Dragon, 5 black, creature dragon horror. They're just putting the horror subtype on everything these days.
I mean, it looks pretty horrifying if you look
at it. It does, it really does. Flying, at the beginning of your end step, exile the top card of each opponent's library. You may play those cards for as long as they remain exiled. If you cast a spell this way, you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast it. Whenever a non-land permanent an opponent owns enters the battlefield under your control, they lose life equal to its mana value.
Right, so end step, you exile 3 cards, and now you can cast them using mana as though it were mana of any color. And if it's a non-land permanent, like a creature or an enchantment artifact, the opponent who owns it originally loses life equal to the mana value.
Yeah. This one is a little bit more like Night Howler, where you could keep it in the deck, mm-hmm. and it's not going to be awful. But for 7 mana, that's not exactly what you want to be doing, because then you got to exile things from an opponent's deck. That has to be something that you want to cast, and then you cast right. it. Anything where you have to spend the mana in order to play it, just like...
It's going to slow down your regular game plan.
Yeah, it slows down your regular game plan. It just takes the card down a notch in my book, which is why I really like Captain Nagathrod so much, is because it just puts it into play. Right. You don't have to pay the mana cost or anything.
Yep.
So 7 mana for this. And then if you want to play other things, you also have to pay the mana for it. It's just so much.
Yeah, that does.
It's a lot.
Next up is Douthi Horror. This is just a crappy card. One in the black with shadow, and it can't be blocked by white creatures.
Yeah, I feel like if you're trying to just get through to do 2 damage to somebody and mill 2 cards, just play like one of the 2 mana mill cards.
Yeah, there's plenty of other things.
Just play you can do anything else that mills.
Yep. Nihilith is next. 4 black for a 4/4 horror with suspend 7 for one in the black. You're never going to do that. Whenever a card is put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, if Nihilith is suspended, you may remove a time counter from it. Okay. So, sure, you suspend it, you mill them, you can put this out of play earlier. But based on some of the other cards we've seen here, I think this, again, even if you just draw it as a 6 mana card late game, you really hate yourself. Yeah, you're just not happy.
It's just a 4/4 with fear. And that's not very good.
Yep. This next one is a new card from Streets of New Capenna. I've lost to it plenty of times in Limited, but I don't
think it's a good Limited card.
Don't think it's very good here.
No. It's Dusk Mangler. It's 5 black creature horror. As an additional cost to cast this spell, sacrifice a creature, discard a card, or pay 4 life. And when it enters the battlefield, each opponent sacrifices a creature, discards a card, and loses 4 life.
Gross. Just to cast it, you have to sack, discard, or pay 4 life?
Yeah, it is or, and then when it enters, each opponent does all of them, which is pretty good. But paying 7 mana for a 5/4, and you also have to do some other downside. Just not amazing, not great, not really what you want to be paying 7 mana for in this deck. Right. You want to be enabling your own strategy, not just playing an overcosted horror.
Yep. Okay, very nice. So those are the 10 cards we would take out of the deck. I must
that's not,
say.
That's not all of them.
Oh, no, there's 2 more.
There's 2 more.
That's right. I cannot count.
Yep.
Maybe the Brain Stealer Dragon has been affecting me too much.
Yep. This one people might yell at me for. Reflections of Lit Yara.
Yeah, interesting.
4 and a blue for an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Whenever you cast a spell of the chosen type, copy that spell.
Wow, so you get a double of all of your horrors. You're saying we should cut this card.
Yes, I'm saying we should cut this card because the horrors are not the key to the deck. The commander is the key to the deck. You have to get your commander out. You want cards to ramp out, cast your commander as fast as possible, and then also mill have some them. Horrors along the way.
Right. Those horrors are not the main mill source either. You hopefully are doing it through your other mill sources because they're more consistent.
Yes.
And your opponents can't stop them from happening like with Ruin Crab.
Yeah. There's a lot of horrors in this deck naturally, which is probably why they have Reflections of Lit Yara in, but getting a double of a 3 mana 2/2 is still not very good.
Right.
And at 5 mana, you should be casting your commander, getting on your game plan, instead of playing this Reflections where maybe you double up one of your horrors. Yeah, it would be cool if you could get an extra Consuming Aberration, but I see that as like the top end.
Yeah, and also it's pretty win more at that point.
It's like
5 mana enchantment. I've even seen people be down on Doubling Season because it's a 5 mana enchantment that just takes too long to really get going.
Yeah, I think this Reflections of Lit Yara really shines in decks that have a lower average mana cost among their creatures. So like elves, zombies, stuff like that. This ends up putting in a lot of work, but I don't think it's a great fit for this deck.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, keep that in mind. If you're playing tribal decks with low CMC spells, then yeah, this is really good. But if you're playing this like in a dragon deck, everything costs 7 or 8, you're not going to get as much value out of it. You want to play like spell, both of them are copied.
Honestly, I think this is better in a dragon's deck than it is in this deck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the dragons at least have crazy ETBs and stuff, but I'm saying you're saying the value is play a 5 mana spell. The next turn you're able to, you play 2 mana spells and you get 2 copies of that instead of playing just 1 spell, copying that one. And
the card quality of the horrors is just not good enough for Reflections.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And then last one is Crippling Fear, 2 black for a sorcery. Choose a creature type. Creatures that aren't of the chosen type get -3/-3 until end of turn.
It's a board wipe that's not about horrors and you're going to cut it.
It's creatures that aren't of the chosen type get -3/-3. So this is one of the 3 board wipes in the deck. None of them are super amazing, but this one I like the least because only -3/-3
may not kill things.
Does not do enough in Commander, at least from my experience in the pods that I play. Granted, it is one-sided, but even so,
hey, your mileage may vary. You may be like, true, I play against a bunch of elf decks, this card is going instantly in my deck.
Yeah. In that case, if you have a pod that's like a lot lower to the grounds, and I believe Ingaric's Wake is also in this deck,
Okay.
probably cut that instead.
Yeah. You can choose which one that you like over the other one.
Exactly.
For sure.
But for me, I think Crippling Fear is the weakest of the board wipes in the deck.
All right, Murph, so let's talk about how the deck plays, or what your general strategy is when you're playing the deck. What do you think players should be keeping in mind when they shuffle up?
Yeah, so when you shuffle up, your goal number one is player commander, as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. This is not that strange of a thing, because as it turns out, most commander decks revolve around their commander.
Yeah, and you're looking to try and play it a turn or two early, right?
But that's especially the case in this, because there's not a lot of setup that you can do once your commander's until your commander's out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't like preemptively fill graveyards too much.
Right.
Because
you may mill the thing you wanted to pull out with your commander.
Yeah, it's still fine to do some milling, but because it's an end step trigger that only cares about stuff that was put into the graveyard from this turn, you want to get your commander out as soon as possible so that you can start taking advantage of that effect as soon as possible.
Yep, and you also wrote down here to sandbag the mill cards that you have until your commander is in play, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, if you have a 2-mana spell that says each player mills 10 cards, well, that's cool, and that's a lot of fun, but you save that until after your commander's out,
yeah,
so that then you can take advantage of it, because otherwise, it's just not doing enough.
Yeah, you're just milling them for no reason. So keep that Maddening Cacophony in your hand. Maybe you're even able to kick it and mill everyone half their deck with Naggathra out, and then blammo, you're in business.
Exactly. So I think that's the big thing. You can play out some horrors early, because those can start attacking and start getting the game plan going.
Yeah, you want to ramp in horrors, and then as soon as you can get your commander out, get that out.
Yes, ASAP. But other than that, it's like reasonably linear. But the reason that it is reasonably linear is because you'll end up playing with a lot of creatures from other players' decks, which is not so linear. And that's the fun part, I think, about this deck, is that you come up with cool little situations on the fly where you're like, oh, well, if I take this from this person's deck and I take this from this person's deck, then these things go together. Oh, that's really cool.
Right.
And it comes with a lot of very, very cool situations that you might not find yourself in.
Very cool. Like that a lot. All right. To the listeners, what do you think about the Mind Flayers deck, the pre-con? Are there any cards that we missed? Would you go in a different direction than what Murph has prescribed here? Would you keep some of the cards that he cut, or would you cut some of the cards that he did not? Let us know. We want to hear your opinions in the comments section on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, all those great places. And as always, the comment section is a great place for you to even look if you're looking for your own advice on the deck, or if you're on our Patreon Discord, a great place. We usually put up channels to just discuss these pre-cons so you can figure out what other players are thinking about and how they might approach it. All right, of course, if you want to buy this deck, the pre-con, or any of the singles we talked about today, go to channelfireball.com/command. That's the Channel Fireball marketplace. You can buy all the cards that you want there from local game stores around the country. When you get those cards, put them into an Ultra Pro sleeve. You can find probably the Mind Flayer sleeves or the playmats. I know there's a lot of themed around stuff, especially around the pre-cons. So if you want to theme out your pre-con deck, you really love what Naggathra is doing here, you can do that.
There's Captain Naggathra playmats, I know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's
super sweet.
Definitely the Captain Naggathra playmat. So go to shop.ultrapro.com/command. That's our affiliate link, and by doing so, you're supporting the show, and more importantly, you're getting the stuff that you need to make your Magic game super duper awesome.
Nice.
Okay, Murph, we're going on to the end step now, where we're talking about something cool outside the world of Magic. You're rubbing your hands together. You got something.
I came prepared.
All right, hit it up. Oh, you're pulling something out.
Show,
baby.
So,
all right, for those of you watching along at home, Murph just pulled out not just an N64 with a cartridge in it, but an N64 sitting on something that's even bigger than the N64, almost twice the height. It looks like an N64, and then a cartridge on the side here. Murph, what are we looking at?
So this is a Nintendo 64 disk drive. So if you don't know, I like collecting things. I like collecting Magic cards. I like collecting video games.
Retro stuff, especially.
Yes. So the Nintendo 64 disk drive is...
Holy moly, I've never seen this in my life.
Right?
And I love the Nintendo 64.
Yeah, there were only like 10,000 made, only released in Japan, only about 10 games made for them at all. So they're very, very rare. You don't see them super often, again, because they were never released here.
Right. What do you do with the disk drive?
So the disk drive only has about 10 games that go with it, and most of them are like Mario Paint.
Okay.
Type games. But the one that I really wanted was F-Zero X expansion kits.
Wait, what is this?
Yeah. So here.
Holy moly.
I'll let you open it up. So they come on these like little plastic floppy disk type things.
What the heck, dude?
Right. Instruction manuals all in Japanese. So
is this an expansion to the game?
Yeah. So with F-Zero X, you have just the regular base game. Lots of fun. Play it if you haven't already.
Yep.
So you put it in, and then if you have the Japanese version of the game and you have the F-Zero X expansion kits, put on the Nintendo 64 disk drive. You stick it in. Oh, I can do this backwards. So good.
Nice.
Sticks in like that, and it's basically DLC from 1998. Whoa!
So it adds new tracks, it looks like.
It adds new tracks.
Parts.
It adds, not only that, it adds a car editor.
Whoa!
And it adds a track editor,
what?
Which is basically the tools that the developers use to make the tracks.
So it's like an SDK, a developer kit, basically. But
exactly.
Now you have access to it as the player itself.
In like DLC form.
Wow.
It's the coolest thing ever.
This is super cool.
Yeah.
One, I didn't even know this disc drive existed. That's so cool that the expansion unit, and you have one of the very rare ones made around the world.
Yeah. The way I got this is that Cal from Playing With Power was like, I want to buy a Panasonic Q. And I'm like, you're not going to buy a Panasonic Q. If you buy a Panasonic Q, I'll buy an N64 disk drive.
Nice.
1 week later, Cal's like, look at my Panasonic Q. I'm like, crap.
You got so me there.
I scoured eBay, tried to find one. There was one listing that I saw that had like it had like 8 out of the 10 games
wow.
in it. It had like the mouse, everything to go with it. And I'm like,
Mario Paint and all
that. For Mario Paint and all that. I'm like, that looks very cool, but it's also like $2,500.
Whoa, okay, that's
a lot. So I was like, okay, we're not doing that. So I ended up going with this one, got the F-Zero X expansion kit to go with it.
Have you played it yet?
I have, yes. I'm not very good with the track editor because, again, all the text is in Japanese.
Yeah, you can't figure out exactly what's happening
yet. There's also like music tracks that are exclusive to this disk drive.
Cool.
So if you play the Rainbow Road circuit, it'll take a remix of the Mario 64 Rainbow Road track.
Cool.
And play it on the Rainbow Road circuit.
Can you see that disc again? Can you pop it out?
Yeah. Watch this. It ejects like a VCR.
This is so wild. The N64 was one of the most formulating, I don't know, it was one of the most iconic,
influential
yeah, systems I've ever played, and I had no idea that this disk drive thing existed.
Yeah.
So this is very, very cool. There's a whole world and market for people that just collect retro things, especially like unopened boxes of games. Those are like super expensive and really high condition.
I don't do unbox or
you can't play it.
You can't play it because I want to be able to like plug this in and play it. Plug it into the TV.
Yeah.
I have like an old professional video monitor, like an old CRT tube TV at home.
Nice. Yeah, we should show a picture, by the way, of your home setup with all the consoles. It's really impressive.
It looks like this. 3 TVs. Like,
it's cool.
20 consoles.
It's the perfect place to go over and have like a game night too, because you can just go and look and be like, holy crap, I can play so many things that I just remember from my childhood and all that.
Yeah, we've been playing like Mario Party with people from the office.
Nice.
Like every Saturday. It's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Well, very cool, Murph. Thank you for bringing this in. This is truly a piece of history.
Yeah, no problem.
And a lot of people watching along at home, especially if you're younger, you might go, what the heck is an N64?
It's a Nintendo.
Very cool. So that is the best end step I think we've ever had on the show.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations, Murph. Moving on to the cleanup stuff. Big thanks to everyone here at the Command Zone podcast. We have Arthur Meadowcroft, Shauna Gillis, Damon Lenz, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Josh Lee Kwai, Josh Murphy. Sorry.
You faked me out there.
Yeah, I faked you out. Jake Boss, Patrick Nan, Jordan Pridgen, Sam Wallagrov, Galati, Truck Tie, Jamie Block, Evan Limburger, and Mitch Trafford.
Very nice.
And big thanks to Jeffrey Palmer. As always, he does the Living Card animations that start our show. You can find him at Living Cards MTG on Twitter.
Thank you very much.
That's it. That's the Mind Flayers Budget Precon Upgrade Guide. Great stuff here, Murph, and some good insight and wisdom as always, and of course a very cool console to go along with it.
Well, thank you.
All right, everyone, thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time. Peace
Bye.
Out.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com. Or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app,
answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.